It's great to be with you again tonight. My name is Isaac. I think I know all of you, but if you don't know me, my name's Isaac. I'm one of the leaders here, and I have the pleasure of walking us through this cool passage in Luke today. So as Sam said, we're looking at this book of Luke. Luke is part of four books of the Bible called the Gospels. Now, Gospel derives from a Greek term, which means good news. So Luke is book telling us not just about any good news. There's lots of good news around, like donuts and grapes, right, for supper. That is good news. But it's talking to us about the good news of Jesus. Luke tells us the story of Jesus' life, what he did, where he went, who he spoke to, what he said, what miracles he did, how he died, how he rose to life again. It's all about Jesus, this book. And today, we get a really clear glimpse of why Jesus is really good news for you and for me and for the whole world. So let me set the scene for you. Jesus has been going around teaching and performing miracles. He's the hottest name in town right now. In Sydney, who's the hottest name in town at the moment? Taylor Swift. Who's going to Taylor Swift next week? Me too. It's going to be lit. I'm actually going to Taylor Swift. We got tickets. Sorry. Look, I'll tell you all about how good it's going to be in a couple of weeks. So at this time, right, if you think Taylor Swift's a big deal, Jesus was a much, much, much bigger deal. Like every single person wanted to hear Jesus speak. So Jesus was in a house and he was giving a talk like I am now. And he was in this house and the house was absolutely packed. There were people everywhere, in every room, crowded in, even overflowing out to the street. They'd come from all over to hear Jesus speak. Now, a group of guys had also heard that Jesus was coming to town, and they had heard that Jesus can heal people who are sick and have diseases. Now, this group of guys, they have a mate who was paralyzed. His legs couldn't work. He couldn't walk. He's unable to move his legs at all. And these guys think, if only we can get our friend to Jesus, maybe Jesus might be able to do something. I think if we can get our friend to Jesus, he might be able to walk again. How good are these mates, right? Great friends. So they kind of come up to the house. They're all kind of carrying their friends. And they see the crowd. Maybe they start kind of pushing their way through the crowd, but they just cannot get through, right? I like to imagine the street is just packed of people. There's people everywhere. You just cannot get into the house, let alone right into the living room where Jesus is. So they don't give up, right? They don't give up. They are so desperate to have their friend healed that they try something pretty crazy, right? They climb up to the roof of the house. Now, we don't know if they know this guy who owns the house. I don't know. It doesn't tell us that they do, so I'm going to guess they didn't. So they're just kind of going up to someone's house, and then they walk onto the roof. Can you imagine if you've been invited to a party, like a New Year's Eve party, something, you get their house is packed, but you're like, I'm not missing out on this. This is going to be great. And so you just scale someone's roof. Yeah, what? That's right. What? And then not only that, you're like, oh, but the DJ's inside. So I'm not just going to scale the roof and kind of be there. I'm going to start taking the tiles off the roof. That's what it says. Yeah, that's what it says happened here. They go up on the roof and they start taking tiles off the roof. One by one by one. Pretty crazy, right? They haul their friend all the way to the top. They start removing the tiles. Slowly, they start creating a hole in the roof. Now, I've been doing talks at youth group for quite a long time now, for many years. I've had many very weird things happen during talks. You know, power has gone off. People have run outside about to vomit. Microphones have gone off. You know, there's a big everywhere. But I've never, ever, ever had someone start opening up the roof, right, of where I'm giving a talk. So this is what's happening. It's completely bizarre, this bizarre interruption. So I like to think Jesus is there teaching, right, and he starts hearing a sound, and he looks up, and sunlight starts streaming in to him as he's in the room. these men, they're so desperate to see Jesus. And they start taking more and more tiles off until there's a big enough hole in the roof. So firstly, everyone's like, why is there a massive hole in the roof? Secondly, it's not just only that. A guy starts getting put down through the roof. So if they're all crowded, they're probably like, oh my God, I've got to move. Right? There's literally a guy on a mat coming down right where I am. So this happens. I can just imagine they're all like, what is going on? Jesus, I'm sure, knows what's going on, but the rest of them are probably very confused. The homeowner is probably like, dude, my roof. You know, I'll send you an invoice, I guess, later for the roof. And so this crowd, they're probably like, what the heck is going on? There's a hole in the roof. And this man is lowered down. It says he's lowered down right in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Only a minute before, Jesus, you know, was teaching this crowd. Now there's sunlight streaming in and a man on a mat lying in front of him. And it's pretty clear that there's something wrong with his legs. And then Jesus says something really strange. It's really strange to us. And I think to this guy, it wouldn't have just been strange, it would have been pretty frustrating. And to the Jewish religious leaders in the room, what Jesus says sounds blasphemous. It sounds really alarming as well. Jesus says, he looks down at the man, he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, I want you to imagine on the weekend, you're out with your friends and you go up a tree and you fall out of the tree and you do a serious injury to your leg. You know, you think your femur's snapped or something. There's a big cracking sound. It's very bad. You get hauled off to the doctor. You head straight to the doctor. The doctor says, oh, goodness, we've got to get you straight into the x-ray. You get into the x-ray. You tell them what happened, that you fell out of a tree. You can't walk. You heard a big snap in your leg. And the doctor says, ah, I'll give you antibiotics for your chest infection. What might you be thinking? Yeah, you might scream like, dude, thanks for the chest. Like, I don't care about the chest. My leg is falling off. Can you deal with the leg? Right? You'd be thinking, thanks for that, but what the heck, I think, is what you'd be thinking. And there's something similar going on here. These guys in this story, they went to an awful amount of trouble to try and get this man's legs fixed by Jesus. But Jesus is only interested in his sins. Like, Jesus, thanks, and that's cool and all about the sins and stuff, but can you kind of fix the legs? That's what we came for. Now, as this happens, it says that the Jewish religious leaders hear what Jesus has said, and like I said before, they're really alarmed because they think Jesus is saying something wrong about himself that offends God. And they say that only God can forgive sins. And if Jesus says he can forgive sins, he's claiming to be God, and you can't just claim to be God. It's the wrong thing to do. That's what they're thinking. Now, these religious leaders, they're correct about one thing, that only God can forgive sins. They're correct about that. But they're very wrong about another. They're very wrong about another. We'll get to that later. Now, Jesus knows what they are thinking, and he seeks to challenge them. He asks them, is it easier to say to someone, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? What Jesus is saying is that because forgiveness of sins happens in your heart, when your sins are washed clean, when you're made right with God again, it's invisible. It happens on the inside. He's saying anyone can kind of go up and say, your sins are forgiven, but no one can verify it. No one can instantly verify whether Jesus is telling the truth. But when you ask someone to get up who can't walk, take your mat and walk, well, people are going to know straight away whether you actually had the power to heal them. They're going to know straight away whether you're a fraudster. Jesus was willing to show that he had power to forgive sins by showing also that he had the power to heal this man's legs. So Jesus tells the man, he says, get up, take your mat, and go home. Now, that was probably kind of a split second here. This man, I'm guessing, would be a bit wobbly on his legs. And this would have been a really awkward moment for Jesus if nothing happens. Being really awkward. If this man still can't walk, everyone is going to know that Jesus is a fake. And the Jewish religious leaders are going to be right that he's a blasphemer as well. The Pharisees will know he's a fraud, that he can't forgive sins if this man just doesn't get up. And the guy who owns the house will be thinking, great, I've got a fraud teacher in my living room and my roof has a massive hole in it. It's an absolute disaster. But what happens here? It says, immediately the man stands up in front of them. He grabs his mat and he heads out the front door, praising God. You know, the crowds are probably partying to let him feel like, oh my goodness, what just happened? You see, Jesus shows everyone that he has the power to forgive sins, that he is God, by showing them something much more visible, that he can make a paralyzed man walk again. Now, there's so much in this story, but there are a few things for us in particular tonight that are so important. There's something that this story tells us about you and about me, about us, and there's something that it tells us about Jesus. For us, this story tells us what our greatest problem, what our real need really is. Remember these men, these friends, they went to an awful amount of effort to get their friend seen by Jesus. Why? They wanted Jesus to fix his broken legs. He couldn't walk. They thought that this man's biggest problem was that he was paralyzed. But what does Jesus say? He says, instead of in first saying anything about his legs, he says that his sins are forgiven. Jesus is saying that this man's biggest problem wasn't that he couldn't walk. It's that he was stained by sin and by guilt and by separation from God. Jesus knew what this man's real and biggest need is for his sins to be forgiven. And it's the same for you and for me too. We can have all kinds of issues and problems in our lives, and they are real, and they often suck. And they might be lifelong, they might be crippling, they might always play in your minds. They're real, and they suck, and you can seek treatment for them. But Jesus says to you and to me, that's not your biggest problem. What good is it for this man to then be able to walk again and not have his sins forgiven and he spends eternity separated from God? Jesus says, your biggest problem is that you're a sinner and that you are separated from God and you need a savior, someone who will forgive your sin. That's what we learn about us from this story. And as I said, and as we've kind of touched on, this passage tells us something super important about Jesus. After Jesus tells this man that his sins are forgiven, the religious leaders think, who can forgive but God alone? Only God can forgive sins. And to prove them that he can forgive sins, Jesus heals the legs, right? He showed that he has the power and the authority to forgive sins, which means that he is God himself in the flesh. Jesus is God himself in the flesh. If only God can forgive sins, and Jesus can forgive sins, he is God. We've learned that our biggest problem is our sin, and that our biggest need is to have it forgiven. And we have learned that someone doesn't just come along and tell us that you've got a massive problem and then walk away. Someone comes along and says, you've got a massive problem, and I'm here to fix it. We've learned that there's someone who becomes human, who comes into the mess of our world where there are people who can't walk, who are suffering from all different kinds of things. He comes into our sickness, our pain, our guilt, and our shame. And he says to us first, what does he say to the man? He says to us that he's his friend. He proves to us that he is God. And he says to us, I have the power and authority to fix your biggest need. And I'm going to do so. And to finish off, I don't want it to be lost on us what it is that moves Jesus to forgive this man's sin. So I think verse 20 is going to come up on the screen. It's just the next slide, I think. Yeah, it says here in verse 20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, we know in this story that these men had faith. If they didn't really think that Jesus could actually help their friend, they're not going to scale the roof. They're not going to rip the tiles off some random guy's roof. They're not going to risk their friend's life by lowering him down on the mat through a roof. They're not going to do this unless they really think that Jesus can help them, unless they really have faith in his power. They had a bold, a determined faith, and Jesus recognized that faith. And he says it was their faith. When he saw their faith, when they saw Jesus and recognized that Jesus has the power and authority to help them and went out on a limb to trust in that power and authority, Jesus responds, friend, your sins are forgiven. There is freedom and there's healing for you. There is a solution to your greatest need and for your little needs too when you come to Jesus in faith. When you trust and believe that he has the power and authority to heal you and you come to him. Just like he healed this man here, he promises to solve your greatest problem, your sin, your eternal separation from God too. Let me pray to finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent your one and only beloved Son into the mess and sin and pain of this world. And that you saw what our greatest need was and didn't just leave us in it, even though it was our fault. Thank you, Lord, that you sent someone, you sent yourself to come and fix our greatest need, to forgive our sins and make us right with you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.